We're going to look in the Word of God again this morning and continue on from where we've been for the past three or four Sundays. And today we're looking at the book of Hebrews again, chapter 1. And we're going to look at another clause that's in that first four verses. And we've been at this. We're going to do a series on Hebrews. And we've been five services so far. We're only down to the first three or four verses. Not even through them yet, but we're going to kick off from here today, and then probably one more in this first passage. And then next week, I think, we're going to look at another part, and we'll cover most of the chapter. So this will be one of the slower ones again today in regards to where we're going in the chapter. Okay, Hebrews chapter 1, this is part 5, verses 1 to 4 again, and we're going to look at those. By now, your Bible is probably falling open to Hebrews on its own by now, because we've been there so many times. But anyway, beginning at verse 1 there, it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds. Okay, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. We're going to bow together and ask God's direction as we look into this morning and see where the Holy Spirit wants to lead us. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the goodness of God. So thankful for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Word. And Father, we thank you for Jesus. And we just ask, Lord, that you would just help us to glean from this what you would have us to see. Father, that we would take the truth of this and put it into our lives, into our daily walk with you. And Father, may we get a new revelation of things concerning Jesus today. We bless you. We thank you. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Last week, we looked at when he had purged our sins. And we look at quite a few scriptures there. And we look at some of the Old Testament when he offered the sacrifices back there. And Jesus came, and the Bible says he purged our sins. He purified us from our sins. So that speaks to us today that when you're going through a struggle in life and the enemy comes in and said, oh, you did this wrong, you did that wrong, you sinned here, you said this, you shouldn't have done that, and all these different things, we need to realize, as the Word of God tells us, that we've been purged from our sins. And over in Peter talked about, he said, you've forgotten. He said, when you go through some of these struggles, he said, you've forgotten. He said that you've been purged from your old sins. And so we need to understand that when we still go through struggles, there's still going to be problems. The Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. It's a continuous cleansing constantly happening all the time. His blood is cleansing us. So we thank God for that. Now today we're going to look at this verse 4 again. Being made so much better than the angels. Now, we're going to leave that this week. Put that on one side, the side burner, so to speak. We'll come back to that part there next week. And when we get into that part there, being so much better than the angels, we'll go down through the rest of the chapter, basically. And then there's another message I want to do at the end of the chapter that would take up another Sunday. But right here, I want us to look today at this clause here at the last part of that verse. It says, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus is being made so much better than the angels. Now, you would say, what do you mean Jesus is being made or became? Or, you know, one translation says, he's become so much better than the angels. It means he wasn't better than the angels before. You got to understand what he's talking about there. When Jesus is on the earth, the Bible says he was made a little lower than the angels. But because of his triumph over death and everything else that he accomplished for us, he was made, God exalted him. We'll get into some of these scriptures in a minute. God exalted him, and he's made so much better than the angels. There's a lot of people that believe that Jesus is just an angel, that, you know, he's a created being. You know, he's no more powerful than Lucifer or Michael or Gabriel or anything else. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father. There's not two of them, not three of them. He's the only one of the Father. And so we need to understand that. So he's obtained a more excellent name than they. So we're going to look at today this more excellent name. Jesus got his name in three different ways. The name of Jesus is, the Bible says, it's the highest name in the universe. The highest name, when we pray in the name of Jesus or we stand in the name of Jesus, that name, there's no other name in the universe as high as that name. But how did Jesus receive that name? Well, we just read right here in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4 that he received it by inheritance. Now, if you're born into a family, well, let's look at the little one there today. Born into the family. You know, there's several ways that we get a name. We get a name because we're born into a family. We're born into that name. We inherit that name. Like this little baby right here inherited the name of Sharp. He's going to be a sharp individual as he grows up. And so he's inherited that name. So Jesus also received his name by inheritance. Sometimes people get their names bestowed upon them, you know, because of something they've accomplished or some achievement that they have. And then there's others that win that name, that work for that name and come out triumphant and receive that name. So these names are bestowed upon people and different things like that. So we're going to look at these three things this morning. So first of all, Jesus received his name by inheritance. Now, if you look again at Hebrews chapter 1, the first verses that we just read there, talks about who Jesus is. Jesus, first of all, if you go back and remember what we refer to as the Christmas story, when Mary received the vision from Gabriel appeared to her, an angel, and he told her that she's going to bear a son, and you should call him Emmanuel. He said to Joseph, he said, call him Jesus, for he should save his people from their sins. He said to Mary, he said, that Holy One that's going to be born of you is going to be called the Son of God. So Jesus, he was God's son, and we talked about this a little while ago. We're not going to get into it all again this morning, but he is God's son from eternity. Always has been, always will be. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Now, so we talked about how Jesus was one with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit for all eternity. There never was a time when Jesus didn't exist. Okay, he's part of God. He's of the same substance of God. You know, he's we read the verses there in a minute. But the thing is, Jesus, and we talked about this before, he's the Word of God. And in eternity, he was part of what we call the Trinity, or the triune God, the one God in three persons. And he was what we call the second person of the Trinity. Doesn't mean to say he's less powerful or less important or anything else. It's just so we can distinguish them. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we go like this, and we almost think that God is more important than the Son, and the Son is more important than the Holy Spirit, but it's not that at all. They're three co-equal individuals in the Godhead. And we talk about some scriptures that refer to the Godhead. But Jesus is referred to as the Word, and we talked about this a while ago. With words, you communicate. You speak. You relate to people. And when God wanted to relate to man, God the Son, the Word, came down. The Word declares things. The Bible says no one has seen God at any time. The Bible tells us that God is invisible. God is a spirit. And so when we talk about God, we're talking about this triune being in wherever, you know, everywhere, I guess is an easier way to say it. He's everywhere and always existed, always was in eternity, always in the invisible realm to our eyes. We couldn't see it. Always there in the invisible realm. But somewhere along the eons of ages, God decided he's going to create this earth. And the Bible tells us that Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So when the world was set in place, God already had a plan put in place what he was going to do. And here's what happened, and we covered this three or four Sundays ago, and you get it online if you need to listen to it again to get some of the scriptures that we tied together there. But here's the thing, that this triune God decided that he would come down and become part of his own creation and redeem his own creation when they fell. And so Jesus was the one, the Word, I should say, was the one that stepped out of eternity, stepped into time from the triune God. And this is why the Bible says when he stepped into the earth, all the fullness of God was in him. Okay, so when Jesus was on the earth, all the fullness of him, all the fullness of deity dwelt in him, or all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him. So when Jesus is on the earth, this is why he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Everything, he said, I don't do anything. He said, unless I hear my Father say it first. So Jesus was continually connected with the other members of the Godhead in that sense. And he came to the earth and took upon himself the form of a servant. In other words, he became like us. Now that's a lot of theological things there, but you know, you need to understand that Jesus always was and always will be God. Okay, there never was a time when Jesus started being God. There never was a time when Jesus ceased being God. And there's never going to be another time when Jesus becomes God again. He always was God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Okay, now, so this member of the Godhead stepped out into time that we understand as time. And dwelt among us. Dwelt amongst us. Now, so we need to understand that Jesus received his name. And some people say, well, what he's referring to there is the name, the Son of God. And that could be as well, but it's still referring to the same person. But the thing is, like if I look at you, and I look at Al, for instance. I look at him and I say, that's Al. Now, when I say that's Al, I mean, I think of Al. You know, and his name and him to me is the same. I don't know if I'm making sense here this morning, but like when I refer to him as Al, if I say, you know, where's Al? Well, you all understand this funny looking fellow here in the front. Okay, but seriously, we all understand who it is because we connect a name with the person. So when Jesus came on the earth, he was by inheritance, he received that name. That name is given to him before he is even born. As I said, when Gabriel spoke to Joseph, he said, Mary is going to have a son, and he said, you'll call his name Jesus. His name is already chosen. He received that name by inheritance. So if you look at the first four verses there that we just went down through again, but let's look at verse 2, for instance. It says, in these last days, God spoke to us by his son. When Jesus came on the scene, and you got to understand, the entire message of the book of Hebrews is that Jesus is better. Okay, that's the entire message. And I give you just a quick, in a nutshell, what the book of Hebrews is about. People had gotten saved. They were Jewish people. They were Jewish believers, believed in Jesus, that Jesus was the Messiah that was prophesied about for all these years. A lot of Jews still don't believe that today. But back there, the book of Hebrews is written to a group of people that did believe that. And they accepted Jesus as their Savior. And persecution came against them. And some of their old relatives and their friends came up and said, I don't believe you changed your religion. This is, you know, what we would say today. I don't believe it. You know, I can't understand how you would do that. You know, we always had our high priest, and we'd go up to the temple, and you know, remember all the good times we used to have? We'd go and do the sacrifices, and we'd have the festivals, and we have all the... I can't believe you turned your back on that. And there's pressure for them to go back under that system again. This is what the book of Hebrews is all about, and this is who these people are. There was a pressure for them to go back under Judaism, the Jewish religion, again. And the writer to the Hebrews is saying, listen... He said, there's nothing to go back to. He said, that way is dead. He said, there's nothing back there. And this is the whole point of the book of Hebrews. He's saying Jesus is better. He's better than Moses. He's better than the angels. We just talked about a few minutes ago, a bit better than the angels. He's better than the prophets. He's better than the Old Testament sacrifices. He's better. Better than Abraham. He's better than Aaron. He's better than the priesthood. You go on, 13 different times is referred to Jesus is better. Jesus is better. Jesus, we have a better covenant. We have better promises, better sacrifices, better blood than that of Abel. You know, so all these different things, all down through the book of Hebrews, you find the word better. Jesus is better. So he's saying to the people that were being tempted to go back under the old system again, he said, why would you go back there? He said, these are all just shadows. Now, you get into this, and we get over in chapter 9 and 10 in that area. He said, all these things were just shadows. You're just, remember years ago in Sunday school, the flannel graph lessons? He said, that's all they were, just flannel graph lessons. They're pointing to the reality. And he said, the reality is in Christ. Why would you want to go back and just learn the Sunday school lessons again when you can have the reality? And I told you before about the shadow and the substance. You know, if Valentine's just got over. You know, now I guarantee you, if you saw your wife, you saw her shadow on the floor, you saw her there, you want her more than you want a shadow. Anybody understand that? If you don't, you seriously need help. Okay? But what was happening, they were going after the shadow. And the writer to the Hebrews saying, listen, you're going after shadow. He said, the substance is in Christ. He's the real body. He's the one. You know? And so this is what this book of Hebrews is about. So Jesus, the Bible tells us, right here in chapter 1 and verse 2 again. He says, God in these last days has spoken to us by his Son. And notice, and then he tells us some of the things about this Son, this person, Jesus. He said, whom he, this God, the Godhead, has appointed heir of all things. So Jesus, everything that belongs to God, the Godhead, belongs to Jesus. He's the heir of all these different things. You know what it's like to be, you know, receive an heir, inheritance or something? You know, well, Jesus got all these things. Then he says, by whom, by Jesus, God made the world. Well, he's the Word. How did God create the world? He spoke words. Jesus was the one that performed that. So he, by him, he said, and he said, without him was not anything made that was made. So, you know, in another place there, he said, who being the brightness of his glory. Some people say, well, that means he's not the real, the same person. No, you got to understand what's happening here. Jesus, God, the Bible says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. As I said, God was invisible. In order for him to step out into the world, into the bubble of time that we're living in, if he stepped out here in an invisible realm, we wouldn't even see him. So God, the Bible tells over in the book of Hebrews that God prepared a body for Jesus to live in and a body for him to die in because he had to sacrifice himself for our sins. As God, he couldn't die, but he needed the body to die in. So this is why the body of Jesus was born. So Jesus stepped out in time, or the Word, I should say, stepped out in time, and God called him Jesus. He received that name by inheritance. That name was given to him even before he was born. Now, so he goes on to say, because he's the Word of God, stepped out into time, he says here, he said, he's the being the brightness of God's glory was seen in him. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians there that we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Now, so he goes on to say, and the express image of his person. So when Jesus stepped out into time, he was the express image of God. You could look at him and see what God was like. This is why I keep telling you over and over, you can't read the Old Testament and try to figure out what God is like. I mean, you get part of it. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. And these things the Bible tells us in Romans there, chapter 15 and verse 4, I think it is, tells us these things are written for our understanding so we can learn from them. You know, but you're never going to get a full picture of God by looking at Moses or Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Joseph or anyone else. These are all have different things in their lives that, you know, is sort of forerunners and pictures of Jesus. But you don't get a full picture of God until Jesus shows up. He's the express image of God. Okay? He's God stepped out into time. Okay? Now, so let's look at it again. The express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. I was looking at on the internet yesterday. Was 25 years ago yesterday on February 14th. I think it was 1977, they sent out a spacecraft, Voyager 1 and Voyager 2, I think it was. They sent out the spacecraft. And it went out, you know, to explore our solar system. And they expected after, you know, 2 or 3 years it was going to run out. And so I was going. But here it is now, 37 years later, it's still sending back pictures. Takes a long time to get back. It's over 4 billion miles away right now. Okay? Now, they call it by astronomical units, I think it is. It's the distance between the Earth and the Sun. You know the distance here? There's 30 some odd times that this spacecraft has gone out in space. In other words, back in 1996, I think it was, one of the scientists, because they didn't know how much longer this was going to last. They didn't know it was going to last as long as it is right now. They didn't know how much longer it was going to last. They said, let's send out one last request, you know, to the satellite to turn around and take a picture back here and try to see the Earth. This was back 25 years ago. And they sent that request, and the spacecraft turned the camera around, whichever, and took a picture of the Earth. And it's called the pale blue dot. If you look at it, and you see it, you just type that in on the internet now. This pale blue dot, and all it was just, I mean, if you could take a piece of paper and just took a pencil mark, a very, you know, sharp pencil, and just put a dot on the paper, that's all the big the Earth looked like. And he said, when the scientists saw it, they just were amazed. They thought, man, every person that ever lived in the universe, or lived in time, in history, had all been on that little blue dot right there. You know. Now, the Bible says that Jesus upholds all that by the word of his power. He's the one that called it into existence, and he's the one that upholds everything by the word of his power. When you stop and think about how vast and how big the universe is traveling at 38,000 miles an hour. Can you imagine? 38,000 miles an hour and been going for 37 years and still not outside of our solar system or our galaxy yet. Now, anyway, so let's continue on here. And then he says, this one that received his name by inheritance, he is the one that purged us from our sins. This is why he came down into time. Because man was sinful, couldn't have communication with God. He came down to reveal God to us and to die in our place and to purge us from our sins so that we could have a relationship with God. Remember, we went through all that last week. Now, so he's received his name by inheritance. Now, if you go back to another verse there, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on into the world, and then received up into glory." So he says, this person, this word, this Jesus, when he came to the earth, he was God manifested in the flesh. He received his name by inheritance. The very fact that he's the Son of God is where he got his name. Okay, the name was given to him by the Father. He received it by inheritance. As I said, same thing with Stephanie and Ryan. They gave that little child his name of Lincoln. And, when they gave him that name, that was their choice. And that little boy received that name by inheritance because he's born into that family. You understand that? Now, so the second way that we can receive a name is by bestowal. Now, go back to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And this is a very familiar passage. You've heard lots of people preach from this passage over the years. Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to try to get to answer these a little bit faster. He said, "Let this mind," in verse 5, "let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God," remember we just talked about he was God for all eternity? "He was in the form of God, but he thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Now what he's talking about here, he didn't consider it as something he had to hang on to, because he knew that he had to go down and redeem us. So he's willing to let go of that realm. You understand it? And come down and redeem us. Okay, "who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." In other words, one translation says, he emptied himself. He emptied himself and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Remember, here's God steps out into time. God was manifested in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. No man has seen God at any time, the Bible tells us, but the Son, who's in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So here we see this Son of God stepping out into time. And then he says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself." Now notice this. Here's Jesus. Well, let's, before we refer to him as Jesus, let's look back into eons of eternity before the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Okay, here's the Word living for eternity in relationship with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And he made this creation and decided that he's going to come down and become part of that creation. I mean, that's a big condescension when you consider God becoming man. Is like, and probably even greater than this, a human being becoming an ant. That's probably too simple to put it, but you understand the difference that took place. So he humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant. He became a man with all the limitations of man. He was hungry, he was tired, he was thirsty, all the different things that he went through. Jesus came down here, and then the Bible says he became obedient unto death. So, but you got to understand, here's God who can't die, willing to come down here. We used to have a storybook when we were youngsters in school. I can't remember the name of the story now. I don't know if you remember, Pat. Used to be a probably stupid illustration, but it used to be a witch anyway. And she hated this, I don't know what it was, her employer or something, or I can't remember what it was. Anyway, she anyway, somewhere along the line, they said to her, "I bet you can't turn yourself into a frog." She turned herself into a frog, and all of a sudden she popped back out again. "I bet you can't turn yourself into a horse." She turned herself into a horse and popped back out again. "I bet you can't turn yourself into, you know, whatever, a fly." She turned herself into a fly, and Buddy went and stamped on it and killed it. That's how he got rid of her. You know, that was a stupid story of one of our readers years ago, one of our books in kindergarten or something, or grade one or whatever. You know, now, but if you look at that, and I know it's a stupid example, and it certainly don't tie together in all the, you know, areas, but if you look at that, this is what Jesus is doing. Here he was God, but he was willing to become man. And, I mean, God couldn't die. He was willing to become man, and then all of a sudden, he was willing to die. I mean, God doesn't die, you know? But he was willing to put himself into such a weak state that he would allow people to take his life from him. And the Bible says he became obedient unto death, not only on that, but he said, even the death of the cross. Now, the death of the cross, I mean, you go back, it's like the electric chair in our day and age. Somebody goes to an electric chair, I mean, you know they're an evil criminal. Well, that's how Jesus died. Yet for all he did nothing wrong, there was no guile found in his mouth, the Bible says, he had no sin, but just that society thought that they were so holy, so righteous, that they took him. You mentioned the name of Jesus today. You can go out, you can curse on TV, you can say everything bad about Jesus, but you go out on TV and, you know, just talk about wonderful things of the Lord, they'll turn the station, shut you down, won't let you talk about that. You know. And Jesus, so he came down, and the Bible says, because he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He said, because of that, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. This is the second way Jesus received his name. Because of his obedience to the cross, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, you see, there's people in the world today who will not acknowledge who Jesus is. They won't accept him as their Savior. They won't believe in him. They'll mock him and everything else. They won't acknowledge him as the Son of God. But the Bible says, because Jesus humbled himself, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee, notice what the Bible says, every knee shall bow. He said, of things which are in heaven, all the angelic host of heaven, recognize who he is. Things on the earth, that's mankind. And things under the earth, that's the fallen spirits and those that rejected Jesus. The Bible says the day will come and every one of them will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You understand that? You know, somebody said, his condescension was the lowest in history, but his exaltation was the highest in history, because God has exalted him and given him a name above every name, made him sit in heavenly places. Now, so Jesus received his name by bestowal. Now, the third way that he received his name is by conquest. Okay? The first way is by inheritance, because he was God's son. He received it by inheritance. The second way was by bestowal. God bestowed that name upon him because he became obedient unto death. He was obedient to the work that he came to do. He fulfilled that work. So God has exalted him. But now, by conquest, he received that name. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1. Just back in another book from where you were just at. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Paul's praying here. And this is what he's praying for the church in Ephesus, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling and of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And notice this, far above all principality. These are all the evil spirits that are controlling the world today and involved with different things. You know, the Bible tells in the book of Daniel and other places that every nation I mean, we see a natural leader in the natural realm, but over every nation, there's a spiritual leader. What you see going on over in the Middle East today, but all the hatred and the murders and the beheadings and all these different excuse me, these are all done because there's a spirit over that realm that's causing these things to happen. And so the Bible says that God exalted Jesus and put him above all principalities. Principalities are rulers. Those are people that are beings or spirits that rule in the darkness, the dark realm. Now, where am I at? What verse was it? Verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Jesus is being exalted far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. And God has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Now, go to Colossians chapter 2. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailed it to the cross, and he spoiled principalities and powers. See, this is what Jesus did. When Jesus hung on the cross, we look at it, I've said this so many times, we look at Calvary, we see what Jesus hanging on the cross. I mean, this is a picture we see at Easter time and different things. Jesus hanging on the cross. And we see that in the natural realm. But in the spirit realm behind that, there's a lot of things that took place that day. You got to understand what's going on here. The Bible says that when Jesus died, he went into hell. His spirit went into hell and took the keys of death and hell from Satan. In other words, took the authority. I don't believe it was a set of keys, but he took the authority from Satan in hell and rose again. And this is why Jesus, when he rose, he said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. In other words, he's highly exalted. But because of his conquest, because of him defeating the powers of darkness, the Bible says that God has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And when that took place is when Jesus went down into hell, and the Bible talks about over in Ephesians and the place, he led captivity captive. He went in, the Bible tells us that he went in and preached unto those that lived on the earth in the times of Noah. Those that didn't understand who Jesus was, they didn't even hear talk of Jesus back in that day. When Jesus died, the Bible tells it in the book of Peter, that he went into hell and he preached to the spirits that were in prison, that lived on the earth in the times of Noah, and he spoke to those people and said, listen, the one that you fellows have been waiting for, the deliverer that's supposed to come, I'm him. I'm the one. Okay? Now, so in that triumph, and the Bible says he rose from death. He triumphed, well, we just read there, then go back there again. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly and triumphed over them in it. So when Jesus went into hell, he went down there and he triumphed over Satan, took the authority from him, walked out, and the Bible tells over in Hebrews that Jesus destroyed him that had power of death, that is the devil. Jesus destroyed his power. Back in the book of Genesis, we talk about this so many times. The very first time it was mentioned that Messiah was going to come, that he would destroy or crush the head of the serpent. Now, so Jesus did these things, and because of that, again, by conquest, because of him defeating the enemy and fulfilling the law and paying the price and redeeming us and translating us from darkness into light, because Jesus did that, again, we read that God has given him a name that's above every name. So Jesus received his name by inheritance. He received his name by bestowal because he became obedient and because of what he did, and then because of his achievement, because of his victory and his triumph over the works of darkness. So Jesus received that name in these three ways. Now, so we look at it, you say, that name, what's so important about it? Why even be concerned about the name of Jesus? We need to realize that we can use that name The Bible tells us that we have authority, we've been given authority to use the name of Jesus in different areas of life. We can use his name, and we have the right as much as any, you know, sometimes we say, well, now Paul had the power to use that name, he had the authority to use that name, and Peter and these fellows. But no, the Bible talks about as many as believed, you know, as many that would call upon that name. And so that name, we can use that name in salvation, you understand that. Okay, the name in salvation, that's the only name that's able to save us. You need to understand that. So people come up and say, well, we don't believe it that way. Our church believes it this way. Or our religion believes it this way. We believe that, you know, you got to do this, you got to do something else. No, the Bible tells very clearly here, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only in the name of Jesus. This is why knowing that the name of Jesus is special and is God's Son, that's wonderful. But when you realize the power that's behind that authority, the authority has been invested into that name. That's the highest name in the universe. Everything in the universe has got to bow to that name. So it's only in that name that we have authority, salvation. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You cannot have a relationship with God except through Jesus. Next one. He said, Romans 10:13, for whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, there's salvation in the name of Jesus. Matter of fact, the word Jesus means salvation. That's what the word, the name means. It means salvation. So there's no other way of salvation. He said, well, now, our church don't believe it that way. We believe we got to do this. We believe this here, and we believe that there, and we got to, you know, work our way up. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus. There's no other name. Okay, let's move on. Not only salvation is that name, we use that name in prayer. Next verse. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, notice this. In my name, there's power in the name of Jesus. When you're going through things, when you're going through struggles, when you need, answer to prayer, use the name of Jesus, not as a magic formula. You know, you don't get things from God just because you learn to repeat something like a parrot says, you know, Polly wants a cracker, Polly wants a cracker, Polly wants a cracker. The bird doesn't know what it's saying. It's just repeating something. A lot of Christians are like that sometimes when they say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of, they don't even understand what they're saying. You need to understand the power that's invested in that name. And once you understand the authority that's in that name, you can speak with confidence and say, listen, devil, you're not doing that. In Jesus' name, this is what the word says. You understand that? So he's saying right here, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. He says, well, I tried that one time, it never worked. You know, well, maybe because we're just trying it. Once we start to realize the authority and the power that's behind that name and have confidence in that, things will start to work for us. But just, you know, as I say, saying it as a magic formula is not going to work. Jesus said, in my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Some people say, I don't believe that's for today. Well, that means salvation is not for today because Jesus said this is the things that are going to take place in his name. Let's move to the next verse. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He said, in my name you can do all these different things. We told you the story before about a lady over in Bulgaria. She got saved. She came from a Muslim background. Her mother-in-law got mad because she left, you know, Islam and became a Christian. And she invited her over for supper. And now this is just a new Christian. And her Muslim mother-in-law invited her over for supper, made her favorite dish for her. And she said she went in, and her mother-in-law got everything all on the table ready for her. And she said, instantly, she said, the Holy Spirit. Now, she didn't know much about it, but she just felt inside that I shouldn't eat that. And she said, no, I don't really want it. And her mother-in-law got kind of mad, but I made all this for you, and you know. And she just felt that, no, she couldn't eat it. And she took her plate and put it down on the floor and gave it to the dog. Next day, the dog was dead. Her mother had poisoned the food. Well, it says right here, you'll eat any deadly thing, I'm going to hurt you. You know, she never even had to eat it. I mean, the Holy Spirit already warned her ahead of time. You understand? So there's power and authority in that name if we would learn to trust that name. Okay, next verse. Oh, okay. Jesus said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Notice this. I mean, that's a big statement. Whatever you ask, I'll do in my name, if you ask in my name. He said, "That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Next one. "Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Now, when you see the word there, "may," it sounds like, well, maybe he won't. That's not what he's saying. If you read the context, he said, you know, you believe, he said, so that when you ask the Father, he may give it to you. That's what he's saying. He didn't say he may and he may not. He's not saying that. But in other words, we could say he will give it to you. "Whatsoever you ask the Father." Next word, yeah. "And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Next one. "Hitherto you've asked me nothing." Jesus, up to this time, you got to understand that this is just before Jesus went to the cross. Just before, he's still under the old covenant, just before the new covenant came into effect. He said, "Hitherto, up to now, you've asked nothing in my name." He said, "But then," he said, "ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." If you receive, if you ask, he said, your joy may be full. Let's move to the next one. "We can gather together in that name." Matthew 18 and 20, you all know this verse. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." When we gather together, and sometimes, you know, you gather together for a prayer meeting or a cell group or anything else, you know, and you say, well, you know, not many here. You know, Jesus said, listen, if there's two or three gathered, and he said, if you're in my name, you're doing it in my name, he said, I'll be there with you. I mean, that's important. He said, if you do it, he said, in my name. That's the secret right there, in his name. He said, I'll be there with you. Next verse. "We can serve in that name. And whosoever shall receive this little child in my name receives me." Another place he said, if you would give a cup of water in my name, you would not lose your reward. We serve each other, and we welcome each other, and we greet each other, and we help each other in the name of Jesus. Next one. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is given in the name. Jesus said, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you." Notice this. The Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. There's power, there's authority in the name of Jesus. So when you come up against situations in life, your discouragements and different things that's going on, realize that you have a resource that you can draw on, the name of Jesus. Not just, as I said, like a parrot, just saying it because that's what they say at the end of prayer, in Jesus' name, amen. If you're only doing it for that reason, you're missing the whole point. You need to understand that, listen, I'm asking this in the name of Jesus. That's the highest name in the universe. Everything in the universe is going to bow to that name. And when we start believing that way, because belief is so very important, Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. But see, you can pray. I mean, there's people that pray, and you know as well as I, there are people that pray, you know, every day, every night, whatever. But they're not really believing what they're praying. They're just doing it as a religious exercise. You don't get anything that way. But Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. See, that's why sometimes you look at people and say, well, you know, that person prayed for me, nothing happened. This person prayed for me, and man, I was healed right away. Now, I'm not saying one person bad or good or anything like that, but I'm just saying, the person that prayed and the answer came, that person believed what he prayed was going to take place. Remember we talked about it in our Bible study a while back? You know, you believe. He said, when you pray, believe that you receive. That's our responsibility, is when you pray, believe that you receive. And when you stand in the name of Jesus, remember the chorus you sang years ago? In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. When we stand in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Praise God. We're going to sing something as the musicians come to now. I just want to challenge you this morning to realize the power and the authority that's in that name, how Jesus received that name. You know, we refer to him as Jesus of Nazareth, and, you know, that's a good way of saying it. But let's realize the power that's been invested in that name. You know, that name has been invested with power. You look at like a president of the United States or whatever the case might be. They grow up all their life called, you know, by a certain name, their name. But then when they are inaugurated as the President of the United States, all of a sudden that name takes on a whole new meaning because there's power now behind that name. You understand that? And Jesus, when he came to the earth, always was God's Son. He received that name by inheritance, just like Prince George over there. He received that name by inheritance. But I tell you, the day that he becomes king, there's going to be authority invested in that name. You understand that? So when Jesus came to the earth, he was the Son of God. He received that name by inheritance. And because he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, because of that, God has highly exalted him. He went down so low, God brought him up so high and given him a name that's above every name. And then lastly, because he went into hell, defeated Satan, took the keys of death and hell from him. By conquest, the Bible says God has set him above all principalities and powers, every name that is named. There's power in the name of Jesus.